Once again, good morning to you. Great to be here with you guys. It's always a pleasure and a privilege to spend some time with you. John has been such an incredible friend through the years, a mentor, just a faithful guy that loves the Word of God, loves his church. And I've really been privileged to be his friend. And so I'm thankful to be in his pulpit today. We're going to be in James chapter 3. James chapter 3, and I've titled this message, Taming the Tongue. Taming the Tongue. Our attention is going to be on verses 1 through 12. James 3, 1 through 12. And when you get there, if you'll stand with me, I'm going to read through those verses in honor of the Word of God. James chapter 3, 1 through 12. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a force a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Amen to the reading of God's word. Father in heaven, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to open your word. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'll be our teacher. I pray we would have ears to hear what you want to say to us. Open our hearts, and may we be doers and not merely hearers. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. So in chapter 2, James taught that faith without works is dead. Abraham is an amazing example of faith. He obeyed God without hesitation. After waiting so many years for his son Isaac, God called Abraham to offer him as a burnt offering. You can only imagine. Isaac was this son of promise and would carry on the family line. That had been the plan, and it was the plan. Though it didn't make sense, early the next morning they headed up the hill. Abraham bound Isaac and placed him on the altar, then raised the knife to slay him, but God stopped him. We're all familiar with that story, I'm sure. Abraham believed that God would raise his son from the dead if necessary, and so he had faith. He knew that God would fulfill his promise. So Abraham acted on his faith. God provided a ram to sacrifice that morning instead. Though Abraham didn't have to sacrifice his son Isaac, this symbolized something greater. This story symbolized something greater. For around 2,000 years later, God gave his son to be sacrificed on that same mountain for you and me. He was then buried, and after 3 days, he was raised from the dead. Jesus Christ died on the cross so that we could be forgiven, live an abundant life, and spend eternity with him. That is the truth of the gospel. Jesus Christ is our lifeline. He is our Savior. And in order for our speech to change, I don't know, is there anyone in here? Can we take a poll this morning, that anyone that has perfect speech? I didn't think so. So if in order for us to change our speech, we need to be affected by the gospel. right? And so going into this, that needs to be the foundation, is that our lives have been affected by the gospel. Otherwise, we will continue in all our old habits and speak in the flesh, right? That's really the bottom line. Paul David Tripp, in his book titled War of Words, quote, said this, "The word itself doesn't seem to carry the fright. Talk seems so normal, so ordinary, so unimportant, so harmless. Yet there are few things we do that are more important. And underneath the normality of it all is a great struggle, a war of words that we fight every day." End quote. Would we agree with that? Isn't it a war sometimes? Don't we struggle sometimes and figure, you know, think to ourselves, why did I say that? I really shouldn't have said that. Those of us that are married really understand that. But let's take it up in verse 1, taming the tongue, because the scripture has some truth to tell us. And then I'd like to wind it up at the end and share some ways in which maybe we can help our speech as we're affected by the gospel. Beginning at verse 1, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Let's pray. We're done. Right? No. Let's close in prayer, right? I mean, that's pretty tall order here. "Let not many of you become teachers." It is a serious matter. This is an incredible responsibility in teaching God's word. An incredible responsibility. And so he begins there. If we're going to talk about speech and taming our tongues and those things, well, all the more to a preacher, teacher, Bible teacher, those kinds of things. I mean, all the more, right? We need it even that much more. We are called to teach what the word is saying, first of all, and be silent when the word is silent. Okay, very important that we get that. We are to refrain from opinion. And we are to give the whole counsel of God's word from Genesis to Revelation. That is the responsibility of a Bible teacher. And so we will be held in a stricter judgment. We will be held accountable for what we say. And so, really just sticking to the word of God. The main thing is the main thing. His word is essential. Staying in the word, Genesis to Revelation, giving the whole counsel of God and teaching what it says. That's really what we're called to do. And so in Isaiah 66, verse 2, it says, "For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word." And so Bible teachers also need to understand the responsibility and really be reverent before God. This is his very word that we're getting into this morning. And so it's incredible. So moving on to verse 2, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body." I love that James included himself in the stumbling that we all do in many things. James didn't exclude himself. He didn't say, well, you all are stumblers and you make mistakes. And no, he included himself in that, very important. That we all stumble in many things, and we could all say amen to that. Paul the Apostle wrote this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." So Paul understood, I don't have it all down. I'm still in process. I've not attained it all. I could use some work. I could use some tinkering and tweaking and cutting and all the other stuff. I need that. I'm not done yet. None of us have arrived. We never plateau this side of heaven. We're always going to have something that's working, that God's working on in us. There'll always be something that he needs to change in us. There'll be a new perspective that he gives us. And we all struggle in our speech at times, do we not? It is a struggle to have control over our mouths at times. And we need God's help. And Isaiah confessed this in Isaiah chapter 6. You're welcome to turn there. You don't have to. I'm going to read it for you. Isaiah 6, beginning in verse 1. We'll read verses 1 through 7. Isaiah was very aware of this himself. Isaiah 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. And listen to verse 5. So I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth, and I'd have to add ouch to that. Oof, that would sting, wouldn't it? You ever had hot food in your mouth? Imagine, ooh, okay. And he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged. And so the Lord took care of the problem right then and there. But as he had this vision, imagine the Lord's train filling the whole room. Imagine him having these seraphim singing to him, holy, holy, holy. The train filling the whole room speaks of his holiness and just that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is amazing, and he's having this vision, and he recognizes being in the very presence of God and sensing the holiness of God. I am undone. My speech is not good, and I realize it. And so Isaiah experienced that, and he recognized that his people around him, the people around him, were also struggling in their speech. And so this is a real problem, and Isaiah recognized it. We need to recognize it in our own lives. We need to have the Lord touch us. And perfect in this verse is also translated mature. Jesus is the only one that never stumbles in speech or in any other area for that matter. Never struggles. As we mature in the Spirit, we obtain his fruit, which includes self-control. And so there is an answer to this. There is a way that to be trained in this. There is the Spirit within. We're not left alone to figure out our speech. We have the Holy Spirit of God within us. And Ephesians 4:15 says, But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. And so we're called to speak the truth in love. And so these are commandments of God. It's not like, well, you're struggling with your speech, so I guess that's just who you are. Don't worry about it. Just, I understand. No, we're given commands to talk a different way, to work on our speech, to pray about our speech, to have the Holy Spirit help us in our speech. And so in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. In Colossians 4, 2 through 6, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving, meanwhile praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are on the outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. That's speaking of us growing in our speech, isn't it? We're called to always have grace in our speech, to be gracious in our speech. Absolutely essential. Now, it doesn't always happen. But nevertheless, that's what we're called to be and to do and how to talk. That's what God's calling us to. And so we can grow in the Holy Spirit. We can have the fruit of self-control. We have the Word of God right in front of us. And he can help us in these areas. Verse 3 goes on, Indeed, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. So he's making a point here. Though it is a small member of the body, it can do huge things. And we'll get into that a little bit more in a minute. The average weight of an adult horse is 1,100 pounds. And a trained one will obey its master by responding to the small bit in its mouth. Our tongues can direct our whole lives either for bad or for good. You can end up bringing life into a situation, or you can kill a situation really quickly by how you speak. Right? So he goes on in verse 4, look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. A rudder is small compared to the whole ship, and yet turning the rudder ever so slightly can cause a ship to be miles off course. Interesting, isn't it? A ship called the Queen Elizabeth weighed 83,673 gross tons, and the rudder only weighed 140 tons. Yeah, small. Small in comparison, and yet directed the whole ship. Again, our tongues are a small part of our bodies, and yet they can affect our whole life. So incredibly important. In verses 5 and 6, as he continues, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Tony Evans, he wrote this, quote, some spouses have hurled insults that their mates have never forgotten. Some individuals started gossip fires years ago, and the flames are still burning. A mouth can set the whole course of life on fire. It can destroy self-esteem, devastate relationships, ruin a career, and kill a ministry. As sure as a tiny match can set a forest ablaze, the mouth causes harm that is out of proportion to its size. End quote. We can do some serious damage, but we can also bring a lot of life. By kind words, compassionate words, gracious words, caring words, loving words. Chappelle, another old commentator, wrote this, quote, we were vainly hoping that by slinging mud upon others, we might enhance someone's estimate of our own cleanliness. We were foolish enough to believe that we could build ourselves up by tearing another down. We were blind enough to imagine that by putting a stick of dynamite under the house of our neighbor, we could strengthen the foundations of our own. But this is never the case. In our efforts to injure others, we may succeed, but we always inflict a deeper injury upon ourselves. Wow. So important that we are careful with our speech. And if you find yourselves being in a habit of slinging mud, hoping that it'll help make you look cleaner, let me just say right off the top that that doesn't work. That is a lie of the enemy, right? That is a way of the flesh. That is not what God's called us to do at all. And you, really, we need to be at work. We need to do some heart work if that's what we're drawn to. We need some heart work if we feel the need to put others down in order to raise ourselves up. There's some heart work that needs to be done, and the Spirit of God can help us in that. Verses 7 and 8, for every kind of beast and bird of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Well, mankind has figured out how to tame animals of every kind, but mankind has had a very difficult time taming the tongue. People lash out and say things that they wish they hadn't, wondering where it came from. Let me just make things a little easier for you. It came from you. That's where it came from. I mean, I've wondered the same thing. Where in the world did that come from? Well, it came from you. It came from me. It really did. And I need God's help in that. We all do. We are like Isaiah. I am unclean. My lips are unclean. I'm undone in the presence of God. And yet he loves us. With all our quirks, all of our mishaps in our speech, he loves us. This is where the gospel is incredibly important. If it weren't for the gospel, if it weren't for the truth of the forgiveness of God, where would we be? Where would we be? So he continues in 9 and 10 with these incredible examples, and now he speaks of just how we can speak one way at one moment, another in another. Listen to what he says. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. We've been made into the image of God. Similitude is another word for image. In Genesis 1, 26 and 27, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So he put us over the animals, and we've learned how to tame them. We can't tame the little animal within our mouth at times, right? So he says, the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And so we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who've been made in the image of God. And I'm reminded of 1 John 4, 20 and 21. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this command we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. And so that guy that says, you know, I love ministry, I just hate people, he's got a real problem. He's got a real problem. Because the scripture is very clear. I love God, and I've also got to love people. In order to really, truly love God, I have to love those around me. Matter of fact, to the extent that you love people around you, that's the extent you love God. Whatever you've done to the least of these, you've done it to me, Jesus said. Right? Wow. So James is really describing the old saying, talking out of both sides of your mouth. Praise God, praise God. Oh, you are a rat. Right? That's sometimes what we do, right? It's amazing how what a difference in speech that we can have coming out of our mouths. One minute we can be, praise the Lord, I'm on my way to church. And by the time we're there, we're pulling our hair out because we're arguing with our spouse about some dumb thing that happened 3 months ago that the husband doesn't even remember. So you get the point, though. And then as soon as we get to the parking lot, we wind the argument down and we walk, oh, praise the Lord, so great to see you. Right? Or when everything's a mess and you do the wonderful Facebook selfies that, you know, the family gathering that, you know, all of us are doing so wonderful. When that morning they could have been at each other's throat. It's the two sides of the mouth issue here. And that's what he's talking about. And it shouldn't be that way, is what he's saying. It shouldn't be that way. And then as we finish the passage in verses 11, 12, does the spring send forth fresh water? And bitter from the same opening. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. So one writer said, quote, pouring salt water into fresh produces salt water, and mixing bad fruit with good fruit produces a bushel of rotten fruit. Likewise, mixing the contradictory speech of blessing and cursing will only produce negative results. And it's true. It really is true. Now, think about this. I mean, we all do it, though. And where is our hope? Again, the foundation of the gospel in our lives, the forgiveness of God, the cleansing of God, and the idea is that when we make mistakes like this, and we all do, we seek God's forgiveness and we seek the forgiveness of those that are involved. That's really the answer. It is the answer. The gospel is the answer. So as we wind this down, I'd like to give us a little bit of counsel on how we can train our speech, okay? How we can work on being better communicators, how we can work on how we communicate with our friends, with our spouses, with all those kinds of things. Not only does Jesus want us to keep from saying the wrong things, but he wants us to say the right things. And so this is, you know, we're talking about this passage in chapter 3 here, it seems to be speaking of really being careful about not saying the wrong things. It's just taming the tongue that can be so out of control at times and all that. But on this other side of this, it's really important that we learn how to say the right things. Very important that we just become Spirit-filled communicators. When we stumble, we confess our sin to God and to each other like we talked about, and we request forgiveness. And the Lord immediately forgives, immediately cleanses. Now, the other person that you had the little tangle with, maybe not so much, not as quick, possibly. It might take a while. But you seek the forgiveness. And if it is at all possible with you, you seek to be at peace with all men. So you do the best you can to seek out that forgiveness. So let me give you, as we close, let me give you a principle here, and you've probably heard it before: garbage in, garbage out. Right? It's an old, I mean, this is so wise, actually. That is actually a very true statement. Garbage in, garbage out. And by the way, good in, good out. Incredibly important. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus himself touches on this. Luke chapter 6. Beginning at verse 43. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So whatever you're stuffing into your heart, eventually it's going to come out of your heart, out through your mouth. And if it's been good things that you've been stuffing in there and exposing your heart to, well, then you're likely going to have good things coming out as you've trained your heart and your mind and as you allow Jesus to take control. But if you're filling it with stuff that shouldn't be there, well, then you're going to say things that you shouldn't. I worked with guys years ago, and it was very obvious what was in their hearts. Because everything they talked about had to do with a dirty slang or this or that or a derogatory statement about women, and that's all they talked about. So what does that tell you? That's all they put in. And so they don't even know that they're talking that way anymore because they've put so much in that it's just coming out. And that's all they know to talk about. So the same principle is true that if we fill our hearts and minds with that which is good, then that's what's going to come out. And we need to train ourselves this way. So if you're watching garbage on TV 6 hours a day, then it's probably going to start coming out in your speech. If you're watching reality TV, right, and you've got all this drama going on the TV and all these arguments and all this drama and yelling and carrying on and cussing and whatever else they're doing in this reality TV, which it is a reality for those who are in the flesh and those that don't know Jesus, that is a reality. And if you're watching that and you're filling your mind and heart with that hour after hour, day after day, well, then you're going to find yourself speaking in ways that you probably wish you didn't. Because it's just the way it works. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We need help. And so one of the ways we can train ourselves in the Spirit is to fill our hearts with good things. We need to guard our hearts. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence. Be careful what's going in there. Be careful what you're exposing yourself to. We're to guard it with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Guard it. Protect it. Be careful what you're watching. Be careful what you're being exposed to. Be careful what you're involved in. If you're involved with drama all the time, then you're going to talk drama all the time. If you're involved with peace all the time, then you're going to be a peaceful person. Really, we really do adapt to the environment that we're in. And we can be a part of deciding what kind of environment we're going to be in, can't we? By God's grace. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You can have a tamed tongue based on what you're putting in. right? Now, I'm not guaranteeing perfection. So please don't leave today. He guaranteed me that if I just fill my mind with the Word and I'm watching the right things on TV and I'm putting all the right things in, I'm never going to have a problem again. I'm not saying that. I still have problems. And I still have to run to Jesus. And I still have to run to those that I make a mistake with my speech. And I still have to apologize. We will not be perfect until we get home. And isn't it going to be glorious when we get home that we will never misunderstand each other again? We'll never say the wrong thing again. We'll never have wrong words, wrong thoughts, wrong hearts, wrong anything. Our speech will be perfect. Right? That's going to be incredible. Now, another one, lastly, as we look at this, one of the ways that we can do this, Paul makes very clear in Philippians 4:8, and that is meditation. Meditation. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. That's what we need to do. Train your heart and mind in the things of Christ. Meditate on that which is good. Saturate your heart with Scripture. Turn off the TV. Turn off the computer. Saturate your heart and mind with Scripture. I'm not advocating no TV at all. I mean, there's some enjoyable programming that we can watch here and there. I just don't be consumed by it. Saturate your minds and hearts on that which is good. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you that you are interested in every part of us. You desire that we speak rightly, that we have gracious speech, loving speech, that our tongues will be used for life and not death. And Lord, I pray that as we consider these things, that we would heed your word, that we would guard our hearts, that we would meditate on things that are good, that we would recognize that out of the abundance of our hearts, our mouths are going to speak. And so, Lord, I pray that we would continually seek you. Even in my own life, Lord, in recent years, I've been finding myself asking you to teach me how to talk, teach me how to listen, teach me how to relate. Lord, we desperately need you. And I pray by your Spirit that we would communicate in ways that bring glory to Jesus Christ. We lift up Pastor John and his wife and family, Lord, as they're enjoying some time away. I pray your blessing over them, God. I pray that you would minister in their lives. I pray that you would give them a refreshing time, that they would return having rested and had a time of enjoyment together. Thank you for Pastor John and his faithfulness to the Word of God and his wife and family. Bless them, God. We thank you for them. And we pray all this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Lord bless you guys.